This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave, in for Terry Gross. Louis Prima discovered Keeley Smith in 1948 when she was just a teenager. He hired her to sing with his band, then married her in 1953. They took their act to Vegas and became one of the most popular lounge acts of the Rat Pack era.
I'm confessing that I love you.
I'm confessing that I love you too, baby.
I'm confessing that I need you.
Honest, I do, baby.
I need you every moment.
In your eyes I read such strange things, baby.
But your lips deny they're true, baby.
Will your answer really change things? Making me blue.
Making me blue.
Making me blue. And I'm afraid someday you're gonna leave me. Said, can't we still be friends?
If you go, you know you'll grieve me. All my life on you depends. Am I guessing?
That's Louis Prima and Keeley Smith, recorded in 1960. Their marriage lasted 8 years. They divorced in 1961. Prima died in 1978. Keeley Smith's recent CDs include Keeley Sings Sinatra and Swing, 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 on which she sings several of the songs she and Prima were known for. A collection of her recordings, including some performed with Louis Prima, has just been released on the Veress label. It's called Absolutely the Best of Keeley Smith. And she's been performing this month at the Feinsteins at the Regency. The run concludes tomorrow night. Terry spoke with Keeley Smith 2 years ago.
What was it like to go on the road with Louis Prima when you were 16?
Well, when I left home, my mother had one condition, and that was that I had to travel with Louis and his wife. And Louis had three conditions, and they were you can't smoke or drink or date the musicians, which I wasn't interested in any of that. So it worked out fine. After a few weeks, though, they moved me over to traveling with the musicians. And I must say, they took care of me, they looked out for me, and they were perfect gentlemen. Not one of them hit on me, and it was just, it was a great friendship and camaraderie in that band. He had some really nice men.
Now, did Louis Prima give you any suggestions about your singing?
No. For years, he never said a word to me, and then when we went to Vegas, someone said to him, are you going to send her to a vocal coach? And he said, no. He said, she'll find whatever she needs on stage. And that's, and I sing, actually, Terry, like I talk.
So what about in phrasing and in rhythm? Did you feel like you could just naturally fit in to the kind of swing rhythms that Louis Prima was using?
Well, no. I have to be very honest about that. I've always been known as a ballad singer, and I prefer singing ballads. But when this situation came up, my husband, Bobby Milano, who's also my producer of the record, he said, I think you should go back. We should listen to the old Louis songs and some Louis Jordan things and really pick out some good swing things that haven't been done. And he played Sunny Side of the Street, and he said to me, can you do Louis' version? And he said to me, can you do that? I said, sure, I can do that. Well, Terry, I didn't have the faintest idea if I could do it or not. And with a lot of studying and slowing the tape down, I was able to do it. And you know something? I loved it. I loved copying him. I loved the feeling that I got singing it. And it just, I was very happy making the CD.
Grab your coat, your tie, your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep and just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. I can hear the pitter-patter, a happy tune is your step, and life can be so sweet. On the sunny side, I used to walk in the shade with my blues on parade. But I'm not afraid, 'cause rover baba baboodle badoidee, I ain't got a cent. I feel rich as Rocky Fellow, and gold dust round my feet. Oh, doodle bop side, grab your coat, your tie, your hat, your pants, your shoes, your bop doodle bop doodle, baby. Just direct your feet, sonny honey, bada doop, bunny, bada doodle, baby. I can hear the pitter pat, pitter pat, pitter pat.
When you were singing on stage with Louis Prima, the act evolved in such a way so that, you know, he'd be clowning around on stage and scat singing, and you'd stand there perfectly still, and you know, occasionally come out and sing a ballad, but you'd even look bored and, you know, you'd be scratching your face. And, I mean, that was part of the act. How did that part of the act evolve? And I should mention too, sometimes he'd go over to you on stage and try to like provoke you into a reaction, and you would just be reactionless, just totally straight-faced.
Well, actually, I scratched because I itched. It was not part of the act. We had very hard water in Las Vegas. And I remember one time we did the Sinatra TV show, and the director came over to Louis and he said, "I want her to scratch her nose at this point." And Louis looked at him. He said, "Man, she scratches when she itches." and that's the truth. I never scratched unless I itched. As far as the deadpan thing was concerned, that was very accidental. We worked from midnight till 6 in the morning in Las Vegas. And we did 5 shows a night. And the shows were 45 minutes long. For the first half hour, I had nothing to do but stand there. I was not a hand clapper. I wasn't a finger snapper. I was not a moving type of a person. So we had a little tiny upright piano because we were working behind the bar up on a little tiny stage that just barely held all of us. And I just crossed my arms because I didn't know what to do with my hands and stood there. And when we first started, the lounge was wide open. There were no curtains, no windows, no nothing. I could see the people that came in the front door. I could see the people that came in the side door. I could see the people coming out of the big showroom. And I paid attention to what was going on in the casino. I could tell you who came in, who they were with, what they were wearing, almost what time they left. And I was so busy doing what I call being nosy that when Louis would come over and pull on my skirt and I'd turn and I'd look at him, it was like, "Don't bother me. You're interrupting my thought here." And that's how it happened.
Now, let me ask you, how would it feel when you were singing, you know, a beautiful ballad on stage, and then in the middle or toward the end of the ballad, Prima would come over and start clowning?
It didn't bother me. The people loved it. And you know what? It's really crazy to say this, but when we were very big, I never knew we were very big. I didn't know how big we were until after we broke up. And which is kind of crazy because it shows that I lived in my own little world. But when Louis would do all of his things, I just thought it was wonderful, and it didn't bother me at all.
How could you not know how big you were?
I don't know. I guess just dumb. I don't know.
or isolated.
Well, I was very protected. I never had to make a decision. Louis never made me wear a gown I didn't like or sing a song I didn't like, and that was all I cared about. All the decisions he made pertaining to music, business, whatever. And all I had to do was get up and do my shows and sing. And in the daytime, I spent with my children. So I was very happy.
Maybe all of that was a function of starting with him so young, when you were too young to make big decisions.
Well, I was... I was going to say something, but I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
When we broke up, I didn't know how to talk to people. We were broke. I was broke. I don't know about him, but it was a little tough, you know. And thank God for people like Frank Sinatra and Donna Shore. You know, Donna's the one that got me out of the house after Louis and I divorced. He had convinced me that I'd be nothing without him. And he told me that he'd hire a girl and call her Kelly Smith. and that I should just forget about a career because I was nothing without him. And I believed him. And then Donna called one day about, oh golly, about 5 or 6 months after we broke up. And she said, I want you to come do my TV show. And I told her, I said, Donna, I can't do that. And she said, yes, you can. You've got to get out of that house. And then Frank was calling, and I was very close with Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy. And they were all wonderful to me, and they got me out of the house. And I went back to work.
Keely Smith speaking with Terry Gross. Her new CD is absolutely the best of Keely Smith. We'll hear more of their conversation after the break. This is Fresh Air. Back now to our interview with singer Keely Smith.
I think, you know, you were friends with Sinatra and the other members of the, you know, Rat Pack.
Right.
What was it like to hang out with them then when they were the stars of Vegas? You were a star of Vegas, too. I mean, you guys kind of, you know, own the city in a way in terms of entertainment. Well, can you, like, tell a story that would bring to life those days and that crowd?
Well, I think I mentioned before that when they would come in our lounge, they would get up on stage with us. Frank did every time. Sammy did almost every time. Dean did a few times. But I was closer to Frank. And when we would go to his show, I would get up and sing with him. Now, Louie and I didn't, but I would. And then on Monday nights, which was our off night, Frank would call and he'd say to Louie, he said, hey, Chief, they called Louie the Chief. Hey, Chief, why don't you and the Indian come on in? I'm going to have a little cookout tonight or whatever, show a movie. And Louis didn't fly. So Louis would say to me, babe, he said, you go ahead and have a good time, because Louis knew I was really thrilled with meeting all those people. And I'd get on a plane and I'd go into L.A. and Frank would pick me up and we'd go to his house and there I'd be sitting with Jack Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy and Kim Novak and all these kind of people, Billy Wilder and Rosalind Russell. And, you know, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. So I did that almost every Monday night for quite a while, and it was a thrill. And then, of course, Frank and Peter and Pat Lawford were my good, good friends, and they kind of looked out for me when I was in there. And they took me all over, and then the next thing I know, Frank asked me to record with him, and I did a couple of duets with him. And then Sammy is an interesting story, because when Louis had the big band in the late 40s, early 50s, we worked the Apollo Theater. And one of the acts on the show was this young kid, the Will Maston Trio, and that's all it was called in those days. It wasn't even Sammy Davis Jr. And I became friendly with Sammy from then on, and he became like a member of my family. And so I was very involved in what you call the Rat Pack, and I loved it. It was just wonderful.
Were you the shy one in the group?
Mm-hmm. Always. I've just come out of my shell recently. Look, my husband Bobby says that when I was with Louis, Louis never let me talk. Now he can't shut me up.
When you started singing with Louis Prima when you were 16, did you think, one day I'm going to marry this man?
Oh, I didn't even like him. No. Oh, goodness, no. Mercy, mercy. No, when we would do tea dances in the summer, he'd wear short sleeves, and he'd put his arm around me, and he was so hairy, I couldn't stand it. And it used to just drive me crazy when he touched me. And also, I happened to be very close with his wife. I was crazy about his wife, Tracy. And we became the best of friends. And no, I had no inkling whatsoever. As a matter of fact, my mother told me that I was in love with Louis. I didn't even know it.
God, that sounds like a movie.
I know, it's going to be a movie.
What did she tell you when she told you that you really loved him?
I remember exactly where it was. We were standing backstage at the Paramount Theater, and we did like 5 stage shows a day. And at the beginning of each show, I was dressed in my gown, in the high heels, standing in the wings, watching everything he did on stage. And she pulled me aside one day, and she said, you know that you're in love with him. I said, no, Mom, no, no, I'm not. And she said, yes, you are. I said, no, I appreciate him as a performer, and I love watching him from the, you know, from the sidelines. She said, no. She said, you listen to me. You're in love with this man. And she was right. I didn't know it, though.
Well, it must have been really hard when you did become lovers because he was married and you were really close to his wife.
No, it wasn't, because our friendship kind of deteriorated prior to that.
Your friendship with his wife?
Tara, do you have children?
No, I don't.
No. Well, when I was pregnant with my girls, I was the happiest person in the world. I thought there was nothing in the world more beautiful than having a baby, and it showed. It showed in the way I dressed and the way I looked and so forth. And you kind of get a glow when you really want your baby. And Tracy wanted her child, I'm positive of that, but she changed. She changed so drastically that she kind of alienated me. She tried to get me fired from the job, and she didn't succeed in that, but she almost did. And she changed as a wife with Louis. And I guess that is what kind of threw Louis and I together a short time afterwards. You know, it's hard to really put into words exactly when it happened, but that's what happened.
Right. When you divorced in 1961, he married a woman who also became the female singer in his act. Did you find it strange that you seemed to be replaced by a person, you know, in his personal life and in his act?
No. As a matter of fact, she wasn't the first singer. He had about three singers before her.
I see.
And he didn't marry her right away. But a very quick story. One of the singers that he hired, the one he hired right after me, I don't even remember her name. She was a nice girl, and she came up to me one night in a club, and she introduced herself, and she said, "I'm the new singer." She said, "I just wanted to tell you that I've always admired you." And I thanked her, and she was very sweet. Louis heard about it and fired her. So in those days, I was taboo. Nobody was allowed to talk to me. None of the musicians, you know, it's just like, a complete erasing somebody from your life.
Did you become friends again with Louis Prima before his death?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he asked me to remarry him. And I told him, I said, "I love you very much, but I'm not in love with you." And I said, "I could work with you if you want. But as far as marriage, that's out of the question." And he had a mild heart attack. And that's when we became really good friends again, mm-hmm. and stayed in contact up until he died.
Keely Smith spoke with Terry Gross in 2000.
I say either.
And I say either.
I say neither.
And I say neither.
Either.
Either.
Neither.
Neither. Let's call the whole thing off.
I like potato.
And I like potato.
I like tomato.
And I like tomato.
Potato.
Potato.
Tomato.
Tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off. I'm butto. If we call the whole thing off, then we must part.
And oh, if we ever part, then that might break my heart.
So if I like pajamas and you like pajama,
I'll wear pajamas and give up pajamas. For we know we need each other, so we
better call a calling off.
Oh, let's call the whole mess off.
I say house.
And I say house.
I say mouse.
And I say mouse.
House.
House.
Mouse.
Mouse.
Let's call the whole thing off. Oh, I like vanilla.
And I like vanilla.
I sarsaparilla.
And I sarsaparilla.
Vanilla.
Vanilla.
Chocolate.
Strawberry.
Apricots.
Gagoozes.
But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part.
And oh, if we ever part, then that might break my heart.
Now if you go for oysters and I go for oysters,
why, I'll order oysters and cancel the oysters. For we know we need each other, so we
better call a calling off, off, babe.
Oh, let's call the whole thing off.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Keely Smith with Louis Prima. Smith has a new CD, absolutely the best of Keely Smith. This is Fresh Air.